Welcome to Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast series. Here we talk about all things franchising. What is it all about? Is it for you? How do you find the best one to own? And so much more. Now your host, Tim Parmeter.
Hello again, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to Fran Coach's Franchising 101 podcast. I am Tim Parmeter, founder and CEO of Fran Coach and your podcast host. Today, we are going to talk about a specific part of the discovery process, the journey we help our clients go through to find that perfect franchise. And they are called the validation calls. We've done a couple episodes on this. We're going to refresh that. But what happens if it is a bad validation call with a franchise owner? What does that really mean? Does that mean you should go running, screaming for the hills to get away from that brand? Or can it actually mean that you're on the right track? That's what we're going to talk about today, as well as some other things. And to make sure we are not missing anything from the franchisor side, we have a special guest with us today. But before we get to His Excellence, let's quick reminder on who we are. Fran Coach is a national search firm dedicated to working with individuals who are interested in owning a franchise. We are partnered with well over 600 of the top franchisors in the country, spanning nearly 70 industries. Our goal is to help clients find the absolute best franchise for them to own. And the goal of the Franchising 101 podcast is to educate people on all aspects of franchise ownership. That's us. Now we have franchise royalty with us today. It is the executive vice president of franchise development for Senior Helpers, Mr. Rob Cantrell. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Tim. I don't know where all these titles come from in franchising, but I represent our brand and help folks that are looking to be in business for themselves, not by themselves. How's that?
Way to give us the aw shucks. So, and you've joined us a couple times here. It's maybe your third time, I think. So
I know you. I was starting to get worried you weren't going to invite me back, Tim. So I'm excited to be on your podcast again. I'll give you a plug. I mean, your Fran Coach business does an excellent service for a lot of great people that are looking to migrate into business ownership. And I'm happy and proud to be part of those other 599 brands that are with you, helping folks on this journey. And every time I hear from one of your folks, it's usually a good person seeking an opportunity that, I know they've been vetted properly and you've done your work as well. So thank you for what you guys do.
Oh no! Thank you. And you know, we weren't actually going to have you come back on. There was a lot of negative reviews after the last one with you, but you know, but come to find out, they were all from your wife, and so it was. yours and mine don't listen, but still critique. So it's awesome. So we appreciate that. So I'm going to give you a time you on this, but a short, quick little. Like Senior Helpers, what the heck are you guys? What do you do?
Yeah, so we are, I would say, one of the nation's premier home care providers. And we are in the elder services business. We provide non-medical home care to folks that need help, you know, with anything from basic day-to-day life to activities of daily living to some folks have more challenges and, you know, have maybe been in the hospital and they transition back home and they need someone to help them with meal preparation and med reminders and, you know, overall safety in their home. So we have over 350 locations worldwide now, and most of them in the U.S., and continue to be just a growing business that, you know, is in a great space. I mean, not many businesses you can do good by doing good for others. And I think that's really at the heart of what we do.
And for all of our six loyal Franchising 101 podcast listeners, we've had a handful of your existing owners that have been, you know, our clients and been come back and chatted with us about their experience. Julio Vasquez was the last one just maybe a couple weeks ago. We had him on he's just going to kill it. So part of the process, Julio and everybody goes through looking at franchises. Once we connect them to usually in our world, maybe three franchises we think could be a great fit, we're going to go through a 6 to 8 week discovery process. There's going to be, 10, 12, 15 different steps along the way. Towards the end, there's a part where we refer to them as validation calls. And we've discussed it a couple of times here over the last couple of years. But Rob, tell us just briefly, like when we say validation calls, what is that? And from that candidate's perspective, what are they really looking for there?
Yeah, I think the validation step is probably one of the most important steps that a prospective franchisee can go through, because it's really, it's not me talking about the brand. I mean, I help sell the franchise, but it's actual owners that are doing the business, and they're not beholden to anyone other than, you know, wanting to support their brand. So it's actually them doing a favor to those looking to get in most cases. You know, you're looking for, and for us, I like to do the validation stage about halfway through our process. We want to get some education around what it is we're promising to support you with, as far as, you know, guidance and coaching and setting, helping you get your business going. And I want to have all that out on the table first, so then they can take that learning, that understanding, to validation. So then they can validate what they've heard from me. Now, we're going to reinforce all this at the end stage of our process when we do what's called Meet the Team Day. But I think it's crucial to find out from owners, is all of this that I'm talking about really been their true experience? What's the day-to-day life of a franchise owner like? Would they do it again? Things like that. There's lots of valuable information. There's information that I cannot share, as you know, we're in a regulated space as far as offering of a franchise, where a franchise owners, they can talk anything about their business that they feel comfortable talking about. So I think you can really see where a lot of information can be gathered and really help the owner to understand, you know, whether they're with the right company or not.
Yeah, no, and it is, you talk about some of the regulated stuff, right? Is people in Rob's position with any franchise legally cannot tell you how much money you're going to make, right? And it should seem obvious that you can't, because just because you go to a franchise and everybody's making, you know, $1 million, if you're the wrong fit, you don't follow the plan, you're going to sit on the couch and watch Netflix all day, you're not going to get to that level, right? We have information through the FDD, the franchise disclosure document. We'll get some of that info. Rob can kind of confirm the things that are in there, but talking to the owner is a great way to get a little deeper into, yeah. I know on the FDD, it says I'm going to spend this amount on, you know, this line item, this one. What's their experience been? And really be able to dive deeper into that. And again, hopefully validate everything that they've been liking to get them to that point. But what we want to talk about today is what happens when that validation call isn't positive from that owner. And Rob, you've been in this a long time, longer than me. We've seen this happen, right? And the immediate response is, oh man, that was a bad validation call. I'm out of here, right? Yeah. And that let's be honest, it could very well mean that. But what are some other things that you've seen where that conversation maybe like didn't leave the candidate all warm and fuzzy of like, oh man, this is the right fit for me, or that so there was negative stuff coming from the owner. Walk us through some kind of scenarios where that's happened, and maybe give us an example of something where that's not really been bad.
Yeah, I mean, I think you really got to start with, you know, how are they reaching out to the owner? You know, it's, in my years of experience, it's always better to have a warm introduction. If a franchise candidate wants to talk to an owner, I'll help get them in front of that owner that they want to talk to. So owners don't like to be caught off guard. A lot of times they might think they're being mystery shopped by a competitor. They don't know who this is calling them out of the blue. So if you're calling them cold like that, or even stopping in on their location by surprise, it's usually going to not get, I would say, the best result that you're looking for starters. So if an owner wants if a prospective candidate wants to talk to an owner, I'll make an introduction for them to talk to that owner. And then at least the owner knows, hey, this person is legit and they want to talk to me. So I think catching them off guard. I've had owners, best owners out there. You know, being in business is hard. I mean, you've got days that you're working long hours. You might have issues that come up that, you know, are stressful. And, you know, here somebody's calling you and they're all excited and you're having a horrible day. which happens to the best owners, the most successful owners, happens to all of us. So I think putting it into perspective and managing your own expectations as a candidate on what it is you're looking for as well. I think the approach that a candidate takes to speaking with the owner is crucial as well. It's how are they, you know, are they jumping right in and saying, how much do you make? What's, you know, they're giving personal information that they're not required to give anyone. They're doing it out of really understanding that, hey, I was in that position when I came through as well, and someone was nice enough to share their experience with me, and they'll do it. Most of, for us, we've got awesome brand validation pretty much coast to coast. But, you know, not everyone's having a great day, and you don't catch everyone at the right time, too. So,
yeah, so, it's not all rainbows and unicorns becoming an owner. Right. And so yeah. It's that piece of it is very definitely there. And kind of to clarify, like, as Rob's talking about, like the being invited by the franchisor, making that connection in the franchise disclosure document, legally, every franchise is going to list all of their owners and their contact information. They're all in there. You have the right to start smiling and dialing and go through, you know, all 350 senior helpers owners or all 5,000 Subway owners. What, have at it. You legally can do that. But what I always say is, like, put yourself in the owner's shoes, right? And now you're the owner and some random person's calling, like, hey there, Bob, I wanted to talk to you about your franchise. I'm thinking about becoming a Subway owner and how much money do you make? Where do you get your napkins? Right? Like who the hell are you? Right. And so it's, and some franchises will even kind of do scheduled calls, or maybe it's a group thing. So it's easier for the owners. Sometimes more emerging brands will do that, so their 25 owners don't get worn out. Most of the time it's even, you know, there's a misconception that, well, Rob's only sending me to these three people because they're the only three owners that are making money. No, it could be something geography related, personality related, how you're going to run your business, what your background is, who are you going to connect with, what information. Some owners are great about talking about the financials. The others, they may not have the foggiest idea what their numbers are. Right. And to be able to get that connection so you're getting the best information is key.
Yeah. And I'm transparent with the candidates that I work with, too. What are you looking to get out of a validation? Some owners, it might be financially driven that they want to really dive deep into the numbers. Others, it might be, you know, what's a day in the life? What's marketing like? And I can match them. We do a what's called the predictive index, which is a behavioral assessment test that we have all of our candidates take, all of our owners have taken it. It gives us seven different personality profiles that are pretty deadly accurate. So if you want to talk to a like-minded franchise owner, I can probably tell you all the ones that are going to match up with kind of your thought style and your learning style, things like that. But I always want the candidate to tell me what it is that they're looking for. I will tell you one area that I've seen become problematic is, you know, most franchises, I think, sell some kind of territory concept protection where you've got your geo-fenced area that's your turf and the next one's available next to it and that's open. And it's open season while it's still available for those owners in that territory. If they're in a service type industry, most brands will let them service clients in non-sold territory. Well, in comes a new candidate next door to that territory. First thing you get asked every time is, oh my gosh, I want to talk to my neighbor right there. Well, it's kind of a conflict of interest there. If you've got an exact neighbor you want to get a validation from that's in the territory that they might have their eyes on for further expansion. And I won't say that any of our franchises would give any cloudy or less than sunny outlook on the business, but if you're taking away someone's free lunch, by having someone come in, some are not open to that. Now, more so than not, most franchises are welcoming to wanting to grow the brand because more franchise owners out there is power for the brand from a marketing perspective, from a brand presence. it just makes a lot more sense. And I think most owners get that. But you'll find some that are very, you know, people, type A personalities, they want to grow and conquer the world and build their empire. And they may, you know, do whatever it takes to get there. And if it's in their sights in the future, they may not want any newcomers, let's say.
There's definitely some kind of reading between the lines, I think, sometimes with the validation calls. And you're right, I think most franchisors and systems will have the franchise then that neighbor or soon to be neighbor is going to be pretty welcoming, right? But every now and then, if not, well, and that's why usually we'll look at, you know, if you can get a minimum of three validation calls, three different owners, you get enough information. Well, I talked to that neighboring owner and boy, he was really negative about everything, but I talked to these two on the other side of the country and they were amazing. Super, again, reading between the lines on those things is certainly key with this.
Yeah. You make a good point, Tim. I would recommend a balanced approach to validation. You know, have at it if you want to call everybody on the list and anybody's after you. That's up to you. And, you know, analysis paralysis, have at it. However, I think if you're looking at a franchise, you want to get a perspective of someone who's maybe newer to the system. You want to get a perspective of maybe someone who's been in the system, especially for some of these larger brands like Senior Helpers, who's been around 20 years. You might validate with someone who's been 20 years in the business and they're tired. They're ready to retire and sell the business and go to Fiji and start a catfish farm. I don't know. It's you just catch people at different times in their vintage of their business. How are they new and excited? Are they, you know, have they been hammering away and they're ready to retire and hang it up and go do fun things the rest of their life?
Well, and it's what you're getting. There's nothing wrong with talking to somebody who's been doing it 10 plus years, because you're going to get the longevity, right? But to talk to that person, what was your ramp up like to an owner that's been 10 plus years? Is my 9-year-old asking me what it was like to go to school every day back in the Stone Ages? You know, I walked uphill in the snow both ways, right? I had to fight off bears. I had to do all of that stuff. That's not how it is now, right? So getting that cross section of somebody a little newer, they're going to feel some pain, right? And understanding where that pain is coming from. But that day in a life thing is big. And we've had times where that validation call didn't go well. But then it's like, you know, and for us, and we're back talking to our clients afterwards, well, walk me through that. Well, you can almost kind of like have the person, you can almost kind of coach yourself on that to go, yeah, well, if it was Senior Helpers, right? Yeah, that owner was like, he didn't like old people, right? He didn't like people in general, right? He didn't want to get out of the office, right? Like, okay, well, does that sound like that's the right fit? No. Yeah. So in a weird way, that can actually validate, right? When you're sitting there going, I want to make a difference. I want to do this. I want to do all the things. Every now and then, somebody's just the wrong fit. And that's like, let's be honest, that does happen. And it doesn't necessarily mean that's the wrong franchise. And again, that person may have just been having a crap day, which I think we've all had those, and being able to understand that.
Yeah. And I think you bring up a couple good points on that too. It's, you know, the right franchise, you know, backing up a little bit, you know, the franchise that's been around 10 years, the way we're onboarding now is light years ahead of what they experienced. I mean, our systems, our services, our ramp time, our revenues are double in most cases of what they were 10 years ago. So someone's heartache and tough time back then was way different than what we're experiencing now.
Hey everyone, I wanted to take a quick break from our podcast to tell you about our amazing friends at Entrepreneur. If you're looking to become a franchisee or simply learn more about business ownership, and guys, let's be honest, you're listening to the Franchising 101 podcast, so we know you have some interest in this. And I really encourage you to go to entrepreneur.com to check out all of their great content and resources. Seriously, Entrepreneur has everything, all the way from a bookstore to the best podcasts, webinars, and videos, plus information on upcoming events and the latest articles that seriously, they cover all aspects of franchising and business ownership. If you're having trouble deciding which franchise is right for you, start with Entrepreneur's renowned Franchise 500 ranking, which highlights the best franchises of 2022. For 45 years and counting now, Entrepreneur has been and continues to be the most widely recognized and respected authority in the franchise market. Digital and print subscriptions are available, so you never miss out on anything. So seriously, what are you waiting for? Go to entrepreneur.com right now and learn more.
As far as the having the wrong fit, we in franchise development, there's nothing worse, especially for me, to place someone in those senior helpers that's just not a good fit, because I've got to live with the operations team. I've got to live with the training department, the marketing, everyone's supporting this person. And if I haven't done my due diligence, and the team gets a vote too, because our Meet the Team Day is designed for them to all have a say on it as well. And we put our checks and balances in our profile, our predictive index, but do we always get it right? No. It's just the way franchising is. You're always going to have A, B, and C players on any large group of individuals. So, you might have a few duds out there that just are not suited or just either tired or whatever circumstance, they're just not happy that day.
Yeah. Well, and you talk about that kind of A, B, and C is, I always kind of equate it back to like, think about going to college and what's the thing? C's get degrees, right? Yeah. So I've got a wonderful undergrad transcript that will prove that. Right. It's in a drawer back there. But that's okay. Right. And some people that's what they're looking for. Same thing for a franchise system. I mean, you guys want happy owners. And if that happy owner is, a franchise has 100 owners and we rank them from most revenue to the least revenue, some of your happiest owners might be in the bottom half. And that can be counterintuitive when you're doing a validation call and they're talking about numbers and they're below the average. And you're like, oh man, is it hitting their goals? Time they're spending, money they're making, what they were looking for out of their lifestyle. And if so, check, 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 right? That's all good. And we had one, we've talked about this before years ago, was the opposite, was one of the top owners in the franchise system. And our client's on the phone with them and the franchise owner is just, she's negative. She's bitter about like, this is so hard. This is tough. Da, 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 da. And finally, one of the questions I always tell people to ask is like, knowing what you know now, would you do it all over again? Right. Yeah. And so like, fortunately our client remembered to ask that question. And all of a sudden the owner, like a switch flip, and the owner's like, oh my gosh, yes, it's been the best thing I've ever done. My term's about to come up. We're renewing our franchise agreement. She was just a typical type A driver, was one of the top 1 or 2% in that system. Like again, reading between the lines, hearing what's going on, and can you envision yourself in there day in, day out with that? Right. So it's again
here and most of the world's here, and her standards are so high that her experience is going to translate like, oh my gosh, this is horrible. But for most people, they're ecstatic where they're at.
It's such a personalized process, right? With franchising is that if you want to be the valedictorian of your franchise, you want to expand and grow, nobody is stopping you. Nobody's stopping you from owning multiple franchises if you want, right? But if that middle of the pack is, man, that's way better than that crappy corporate job. We got somebody in our process right now, literally drives 2 hours a day to work, like one way back and forth. And I'm like, I may not drive 2 hours a week. And right. My mind is right. Yeah. Like it's the
not in Circle K.
Yeah. I gotta get Junior from school here in a minute. Right. But the, though it was kind of funny, he did say plug to the podcast. He's like, no, but that's why I listened to the Franchising 101 podcast. And I said, smart man. Right. But he was like, he's kind of one of those where it didn't bother him, but then it did. And then like, it just starts wearing on him as time away from the family and all those things. It's not always the money that is the driver. So when you're finding that sweet spot, or you're talking to somebody that maybe built the business smaller than you want to, or bigger than you might want to, you can still learn things in there about where do you fit? How do you kind of create your path? Right. So what are, from your standpoint, we always talk with our clients about, you know, again, helping make sure they're getting all the right information from the franchise to find the best fit. But those validation calls don't go unnoticed on your end, because you are actually awarding the candidates as well. It has to be that match. What are some things that you hear from your side that may be like really positive things, or some red flags when there's feedback from the owners on those validation calls?
Oh, that's a great question. And believe me, I hear it both ways. Fortunately, this is my 8th year of senior helpers. I've gotten to know a lot of our franchise population or family of owners. So great people, you know, most folks you'd want to hang out with, you know, any given Sunday. They'll tell you if it's someone that they just feel, I don't know about this person, or they ask me this or that, and we'll take that into consideration, because, you know, our brand is only as good as the owners that represent it. And we want to make sure, and most owners are pretty bullish on wanting to protect that as well. So flip side, you got someone that's a superstar that, you know, that they identify with, they'll tell you that too, which is great. And if you've got someone, if they've talked to someone who's been really successful and they're saying this person's awesome, then that's a pretty good sign that we're on the right track with that individual too. So, I almost always follow up with the franchise owners that I know that they've talked to. Now, again, out of the control of someone starts calling down the list, but I would recommend some kind of interface with me on who it is you're looking for, and let me help you with that process, and trust the process too. You know, sometimes candidates, you know, I know franchising, getting into a business concept is scary for a lot of people. It's the first time they've ever done this. You know, what is it? And they'll try to poke holes in the model or the concept. You know, believe me, that you hear it all. I think if they go into it with kind of like, I'm going to try to find out what's wrong here, is probably not the approach either, especially when you're talking to a franchise owner who's been wildly successful and so glad that they made the decision as well. So if they're trying to look for a reason not to do it, then maybe they shouldn't be at validation or in that step in the process, because it's not for everybody to get into franchising. Yeah. That's okay too. We would rather figure that out much earlier.
Yeah, you will always find a reason to not do something. Yeah, right. If you're gonna look hard enough. Yep. No, without quite. And one thing on the owners I want to come back to, but to understand this process is mutual, right? We are trying to find that best fit to create a very long-term partnership. And if you look at the overall stats of franchises that are still in business after 5 years and marriages that are still intact after 5 years, it's roughly the same, right? So like, again, if you're looking at, you know, you're in that date, I always kind of equate it to dating, right? You don't go on a first date and run off to Vegas to get married. You got to vet them out, right? They could be batshit crazy. They may not like you also, right? But when we get to the end, like, you can always nitpick like your significant other in that process. I mean, Rob, you and I can't, because our wives are perfect. I just want to make sure that's out there. Let me say that again. Rob and I's wives are perfect. Got it. Okay. But you can always find that. You can always find that thing. And if anybody ever met Rob's wife or my wife, you will know we are significantly overachieving. So, we can always find that negative piece, right? But also to understand that the owners, when you're talking to them, they don't care if you become a franchise owner or not, right? There's nothing, there's no incentive in there. And what happens is just kind of what Rob's alluding to, they're going to get really protective of the brand. And some of the things that can kind of kill a candidate from a franchisor standpoint, and Rob, correct me if I'm wrong, is the comments from an owner if it's a bad validation call. They're negative. Yeah. They don't get it. They're not going to follow a plan. Those are real honest conversations. And those franchise owners will get, like, will really step up in any system if there's a validation call with somebody, they don't think it's the right fit because they're protective of it. Is their, it is not senior helpers, it is their senior helpers or their whatever franchise.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely the case. It's the brand is made up of the owners, and you know that's who represents, you know, the brand. So absolutely. Yep. So I'm always the, that's why I get the validation. I want to make sure that I put them through our checks and balances, so we minimize that. So I usually people don't get to the validation stage if they're duds, for sure.
Yeah. And the other thing that really I think people want to try to get a handle on in the validation calls is the money. And it is a difficult kind of needle to thread as we're looking at the money. Obviously people in, well, maybe not obviously to me and you, Rob, but people in Rob's shoes, again, are legally limited. There's guidelines by the Federal Trade Commission on what they can and can't say. Yep. There's information in the franchise disclosure document, cost, fees, reports of how much revenue their owners make. But talking to those owners is a real opportunity to learn a little bit more. And there are certain things that we kind of guide people on. But what are some things maybe you've seen financially that has in those conversations? And again, not things you've said, but you've just heard on those calls that can maybe be misconstrued a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's certainly, I think, one of the reasons folks want to get to a franchisee, because I'm beholden to the laws of franchising on what I can disclose, and if it's not in the FDD, then I can't really legally talk about it. So, if an owner is willing to share their experience, otherwise on you know what their costs or profits are, et cetera, then that's on them. I think where it gets tricky sometimes is how they structure their business. And our model, it's typically an owner operator out of the gate, where you've got two individuals, you've got a counterpart to someone who's either more operations minded or someone who's either more marketing. We have different owner profiles that can fit in either of those, but you're going to hire someone. If you get an owner that comes in maybe a little more capitalized and they say, well, I'm going to have an operations person, a marketing person, and I'm going to be there too, that's going to change a little bit to what whittles down to profit from that experience. So understanding where they're at, and as you grow your business, you scale and grow, you need an organizational chart that can grow with you. So you add staff internal, which are in turn, you know, costs that are not associated with our revenue maker, which is our caregiver services. So what you're finding is you've got offices that may be higher revenue, but their margins may be a little off, all over the place if they had their company structured in a different way. That's why talking to a new owner that's an owner operator that would match what that owner's intention would probably be the recommendation to try to find that scenario, or you might get something that would never pertain to you in a validation, you know, by talking to the wrong person.
Yeah. It's asking the right questions. There's not a X marks the spot where, you know, go here and you're going to like see your financial future with any particular franchise. But, you know, like somebody talking about and owners validating don't mean this in a bad way. But like, oh, I'm at, you know, 10% net profit. I'm at 40% net profit. And I always tell people, don't listen to that. Right. That's net is telling them how they're running their business. Right. Did they, like Rob's saying, did they overhire at the beginning because they're really looking for rapid growth? Yeah. Well, that may lessen their net margins. I always use the example, my wife and I own a couple other businesses that franchises that if we don't run any of our expenses through the business, we don't take any like money out of those businesses. So our net for the same revenue as somebody else who's doing all those things is going to look higher, right? That doesn't, it doesn't tell us anything with this. Understand it's like, and this people get cranky when I say this, but we have to do our own math, right? What are the line items, right? What are you paying on marketing? What rent? How do you compensate your staff, right? How do you compensate yourself as an owner? But even that is net profit isn't what you take home, right? You make $1 million business and you net profit 10%. That's what's left after you've paid everything, including yourself and all your bills, right? So just those little things in there. And from a franchisor standpoint, that's tougher for somebody in Rob's shoes to kind of talk much about, but things that we want to make sure folks are aware of when they're talking to the owners to, again, not misinterpret something. They're like, oh, yeah, I only got like 10% net profit on a $500,000 business. Geez, I'd only get to pay myself $50,000. No, that's what's left over after you've already paid yourself, you've ran your expenses through, all of those things that factor in makes a huge difference. So it's, again, kind of interpreting and making sure you don't misinterpret anything along the way. So I know that I want to talk a little bit more on that, because that's a little grayish area where you guys in your shoes can't do too much coaching on that, but it is something the owners don't mean it bad, but it's just understanding the right information.
Yeah. And so, you know, face it, it's your business to run. And like you and Danielle with your businesses, you choose to not put anything in the business as far as expenses that, you know, you don't need to. Other owners, you know, whatever's within the legal limits of expense, some owners will do that. And it changes, again, that will change what their profit margins are and so forth. Fortunately for our business model, there's not a lot of moving parts, and you don't have to be an MIT major to figure out where, you know, what your cost of goods is, what your labor cost is. You know, you can fill out on a pretty simple Excel spreadsheet and, you know, do your due diligence and study, you know, the industry. Look at a competing brand if you want and compare the two. I never shy away from that if someone's looking at our brand, because you want to see if there's consistency in the industry itself as well. So, I think bottom line is, do your homework, and validation will give you a lot of, you know, of answers you want, but not all the answers, you know, that I think you need to be looking for.
Yeah. And the things that sometimes seem like they are negative or bad are not always the case. And sometimes they're in fact, like, actually really positive signs that you're in the right place. And the last thing I always talk about really with our people throughout the process is I refer to it as the get out of bed test, right? Like, I don't care how happy this owner is and how much money they're making. And they're bathing in $1,000 bills, man. They got so much money. If you can't see yourself getting your butt out of bed tomorrow to go run and do those things that day in the life, and you've got to be honest with yourself, on those things. Cause if that doesn't match up, and you probably say the same thing. I think that's the biggest, if somebody's going to struggle in a franchise system, I mean, short of not following the plan or being lazy, we can't help you on that. Right. Yeah. But if you're following the plan and you're putting forth the effort, if you didn't do enough due diligence on that day in the life, or frankly, you were kind of lying to yourself about it, that can be a tough situation. So really honing in on that when you talk to the owners, to me, I think is as important as really anything else. So,
And I think you're definitely onto it. I think that should be, in my mind, the number one thing people look for is, you know, would you get out of bed and would you look forward to doing this? Because you can do a lot of things to make a lot of money in this world. There, I don't know how many thousand franchises out there that, you know, can probably bring you some sort of profit. If that's all you're looking for, then, you know, keep looking, you'll find it. But I think finding the match for what your purpose and what you're meant to be doing is so much more important. Most franchises, especially the ones that are our size, you've got success stories all over the place. If the business is right for you and you're passionate about it, you know, the rest will take care of itself. Now, don't not do your homework on figuring out the, you know, the minutia, and don't get caught up too much in the weeds too, I'll caution, because you can analysis paralysis your way. And really at the end of the day, I know franchising for some, making that migration from corporate refugee to franchise owner, that's a scary business, because it takes a leap of faith. You got families that you're, you know, that you need to provide for. But if you look at a brand that's seasoned, that has success, that you can validate that success, then it's well worth the leap. And that's the kind of question you ask an owner, you know, would you take that leap again? And I think that's where you'll hit a, hit a home run on your validation call.
Yeah, there and really then and kind of why, you know, why yes or why no for that. Honestly, to me, that's one of the best questions, because they're going to kind of let you know that they made the right choice. They'll also kind of usually clue you in on some mistakes that they made at the beginning, which yeah. usually is something that they deviated from the plan, right? Well, if I'd had it all yeah. to do it all over again, I would have done this differently. And you're like, and you as the candidate are going to be sitting there going, Rob just told me that's exactly what you're supposed to do, and you didn't do it. So, like, it validates the plan because yeah. I always say it's like the franchisor is like the parent and the franchisee is like the child, right? Don't touch the stove. It's hot. Don't touch the stove. Don't touch the stove. Ow, right? We freaking told you, just follow the plan, put forth the effort, and then trust it really in kind of that whole discovery process to find your fit. So now this is good, Rob. I appreciate you walking us through this and really wanted to kind of get a sense on both sides. Cause I think people sometimes forget that the franchisors are vetting them as well. And the feedback, it's not just, you know, your decision or the people that's in Rob's position. It's not like, you don't just like wave a magic wand and say, hey, I approve Tim. It's got to go through feedback from the owners, the whole team, all of those things. So I really appreciate you joining us today to kind of talk about that side of the equation as well.
Oh, it was fun, Tim. And every step along our way is kind of a validation of us to the candidate. So, and that starts with my interaction. That starts with my teams when they start to interact, the franchisees interact. So it's a two-way street. And again, at the end of the day, it's, you know, that union, when you have the right fit, it's awesome. And, you know, that's where people get really excited about being part of such a successful brand, and they can share that with one another and be around people that kind of have the same mindset. And that's always fun when we go to our annual conference to see how many folks are just hitting it out of the park. And, you know, ones that maybe are in their early years where they're a little more blood, sweat, and tears, and then ones that have made it that, you know, they can see that I can get there too. So just remember, it's a marathon, not a sprint. When you're getting into business, doesn't necessarily mean you buy a franchise that you're going to wave that magic wand overnight. You've got to still get out there and put the effort in and follow the system, follow the guidance of your franchisor.
Yeah. And when I find the franchise that you just wave the magic wand and it starts raining $1,000 bills immediately, I will no longer be doing this podcast. I will own five of those. Right.
Tell me about that one when you get it, and I'll be on there. We'll be partners. How's that?
No, I don't want you as my neighboring franchisee. I'm going to keep that. I'm going to keep that to myself.
You want to build your own empire. Yeah. I got you.
Yeah. Right. That's how I roll. So, Rob, thank you, my friend. Always good to talk to you and have you on the podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me, Tim. And let's hopefully it won't be as long in between the next one. Hopefully.
Yeah, no guarantees. But thank you so much. And as always, for all of our loyal listeners, thank you for tuning in again. We hope this provides some insight into the amazing possibilities in franchising and things you need to think about. Find us online, francoach.net, franchising101podcast.net. Reach out to us, schedule your first call. Also, don't forget about our brand new site, franchisingnews.net. In case you don't want to listen or watch, you can read stuff. It's all there as well. It's all here to help you create your better tomorrow. Thanks everybody for tuning in, and we will talk with you soon.
Thanks for listening to FranCoach's Franchising 101 podcast, where our ultimate goal is to help educate you on all things franchising so you can create your better tomorrow.